So instead of working on the how, work on the energetic alignment to it. Work on the habits of behavior that you're currently doing now that is pushing things away. And then it will slowly, one by one, come to you.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And, you know, a hot topic right now is money, is abundance, is perhaps even on the flip side of that, scarcity or lack. And it's always such a delicious conversation to go into. It's always such a delicious conversation to take other people's perspectives from and learn and grow. So this is what we're going to do today with our wonderful guest, Jennifer McCormick. She is a mentor for women all over the globe and helps them to scale their business by taking their mind and energy to the next level. She helps them to unapologetically sit in their power to raise and expand both themselves and their business. My love, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Alara, for having me and opening up this conversation. I find that money can be such a taboo conversation. And when we start opening up and expanding our energy to be okay with it, then we open up the energy to be okay with holding it. And that's so beautiful. So thank you for having me on here to start that conversation with your people and to bring them what they ultimately want.
And so what do you think that they ultimately want?
This is a really good question. There is no wrong or right, but there is an honest answer for everybody, right? And what I find around money mindset with a lot of women is they're afraid to be honest with themselves. They're afraid to be honest in how much they want. And that's the reality is there's no wrong or right answer. But within you, you ultimately know your truth. And the moment that you are honest with yourself and be truthful is the moment you can start energetically, cognitively, materialistically aligning to everything that you want. So people think they want too much, that it's too materialistic, it's too egoic. And so they hide it. They're not truthful with themselves and they're certainly not truthful with other people. So the moment we start with hiding ourselves, we start traveling through a life that's not ours. We travel through a life to please other people and or the perception that we have or what we think their standards are, rather than going, you know what, it's irrelevant what anyone else thinks or feels or knows for themselves. This is me. Because the reality of it is, Alara, that the vision that you have in your head for yourself, your future self, has been gifted to you and you only because it is possible for you. So if you have a vision in your mind of a big house on a nice property with permaculture gardens and all of this, that's for you. But if you also have a vision of private helicopters, mega yachts, and, you know, whatever that looks like for you, designer handbags and whatever, that is okay as well. And the moment we put judgment on ourselves or what we think other people judge us for is us judging ourselves because on some level we think we either don't deserve it or it's not right. So part of the work gets to be, for women especially, on I'm allowed to bring this in. I have the means to bring it in, and it's safe for me to bring it in. Because the reality is, as women, we haven't actually been earning money independently for that long. And it's interesting. I heard these statistics the other day and went, I knew it wasn't that long, but I heard this thing where, this article, where in Australia, and I think the US is very similar, women were not allowed to have a bank account solely on their own without their spouse until the 1970s. And I'm like, that is actually not long ago. We're only in 2020. So you can see that even so, we are so much about freedom and independence and wanting to earn our balance in this world, that it's so new for us energetically and certainly subconsciously. So part of it is working our way through that, not only as a collective energy, as an individual energy, and as a hereditary energy. You know, I even look at my grandmother, and my grandmother's 93, bless her. She has never worked. She's never driven a car in her whole life. Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
Wow.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just goes to show how it was just yesterday that we're still, or even today, that we're still carrying on a lot of these behaviors, habits from the yesteryear, right? But this is the thing that I want to say. You don't have to earn money if you don't want to. Right? You don't have to bring abundance to yourself through yourself if you don't want to. And that is also a truth that we get to sit in, because there is a massive movement around financially independent women. And as much as we get to own how much we want and what we want to bring in, we also get to own that some of us don't want to bring it in. Some of us want to work, you know, through being a nurturer in this world. And that is okay too. And, you know, there are so many different equations to the right life. And it is important for every single one of us to honor what that is for you now, in knowing that it can change and that's okay. But what do you want right here, right now?
It's such an important question, because I think a lot of times, I mean, what you were saying about your grandmother and the older generations, you know, they weren't working. They didn't have their own bank account. Then we went into this feminism, right? And the rise of the feminine movement. And then it was like, okay, now all women are working. Not all, obviously, but that was like the big push, right? Okay, now you have to work. And now I feel like we're in this really beautiful place where the pendulum has swung both ways, and we're coming to this center, and you get to choose, right? And so what does that look like for you? And I always say this to people as well, because, you know, somebody's genius could be working the soil and they really want to be off grid. They want to be out of civilization. They want to be in nature. And that is their gift to humanity, because it's the gift to Gaia. And that is their abundance. right? Their abundance is the privilege, the juiciness of being with their hands in the dirt every day and just giving love to the ground and the soil and the plants and nature, right? Whereas the other side of that could be, like you said, the yachts or the jets and the luxury and the glamour, right? And I think we tend to give weight to one or the other. The other side of that would be the stay-at-home mom who wants to, like you said, nurture and take care of her kids, maybe homeschool, versus the very professional woman, whether it's owning her own business or, you know, being corporate, who really wants to expand that direction. And so we tend to think one is correct or one is right or one has more value or one whatever and then the other, when it's not, right? They are all different and unique. And I just love how you bring this through, because I deeply agree that the more truthful that we truly are with ourselves of what feels good when I think about it, when those visions come through. Not everybody has visions, but if you can really think about what lights you up, you know, does it light you up to be on yachts and jets and glamour, or does it light you up to have your hands in the soil or somewhere in between, right? Where is that light for you and that passion? And then, of course, giving yourself the permission, right, to go after that life. And so what has been your experience with the permission side for women? What comes up for women when they start to say, okay, they start to be serious with themselves and say, this is what I want. Then, of course, the permission to actually follow suit comes through.
Right. So with permission, there's two sides of it. There is the one, which is the judgment. Right. And what we spoke before, most of the time, yes, the judgment is from self, but there is an element of judgment from the external when you start aligning yourself with your truth. Yeah. And, you know, especially when we are the kind of person that has been brought up people pleasing, because let's face it, so many of us women have, right? We are thought from such a young age, we were there to serve. We were there to make sure our parents were calm. We made sure that we are the good girl, that we do the right thing. So when we are focused on other people and other people's thoughts, feelings, emotions, judgments, we come into line with that, with the way that we express ourselves or the way that we don't express ourselves. So what is important is that as soon as you start to break away from your mold, your internal mold, that fortunately or unfortunately, whatever way you want to have a look at it, there will be a breakaway from society's mold as well. Because the reality is that your friends and your family are used to seeing you in a certain way. So the moment that you start to honor your truth, you are different to them. You're different, not different to them, but you're different to them from their perspective of the you now to the you that you used to be. And we are creatures of habit. We love familiarity. So for them to adjust to the new you, some people can, and it will be brilliant. And they're the people that will come along with you on your journey and help you and maybe even support you. But then there's going to be people that won't. There's going to be people that judge you and question you and all the things in between. And it's being able to navigate that, which is the biggest thing for a lot of women. Because reality is, we don't like to ruffle feathers. We just don't. Mm. We like peace. We like harmony. We like balance. But I ask you this, at what cost to self are you keeping that? Right? And that's where you get to go, okay, it's time to either align to me. And anytime we align to anything, we are also saying no to aligning to something else. Anytime we say yes, we are saying no to this. Anytime we are saying no, we are saying yes to this. So that is a really big shift that you get to make, because the reality is this. You are a byproduct of the way you've been brought up, right? And when we look at money, we look at how mum looked at money, stressed about money, loved money, hated money, people with money, right? We look at dad and the same thing. And if we want a different reality to them, unfortunately or fortunately, we have to change because we are a byproduct of them and will go down their path if we don't create the change. But even to that as well, I had this conversation with this beautiful woman last year, and she was in her early 20s, and we were talking about money, and she was saying to me, Jennifer, I can't save. I have a pretty good job, but I just never seem to have any money. And I asked her, when you were growing up, like, what was the dynamic around money in your house? She's like, we actually had a lot. Dad worked, he earned the money. Mum looked after the children. Dad drip fed her the money to pay for the food, organize the house, anything the kids want. We had everything we needed. And I asked her this, what did you make that mean to you? And she thought about it for a moment and she said, I made that mean that women were not good with money because dad drip fed mum money and mum never had to organize it. She never really had control over it. It was there. She asked and it was given.
Mm-hmm.
But she never saw her mum manage money. And in her perception, she made that mean that if mum can't manage money or wasn't allowed to, women couldn't. And women is herself. So I can't manage money. Hence the reason she has no money. So even so, she came from not a very wealthy family, but they had everything. It is the way that we see it. So that's what I urge everyone to do. So it's not necessarily the reality that you have, but how you perceive the reality and what you make that mean to you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back to what we're talking about of owning what you really want, because I find what a lot of people do is they own what's comfortable. Yes. And comfortable usually isn't what they want, right? So their current state could be comfortable because, like you said, that's what they, you know, were basically programmed with throughout their childhood around money. And so, well, this is what we do with money. And, well, I'm not going to think about having more because that's an uncomfortable thought, right? That's an uncomfortable vision. That's an uncomfortable perception of myself. And so sometimes they'll kind of misalign their desires, thinking their desires are, no, I'm good. I'm good at where I'm at. And I find that if you really ask them, okay, but if you just like, if money wasn't a thing, what would you be doing with your life? Mm. Right. All of a sudden it really changes. The other one I really like to do is, well, what if you only had like 6 months to live, you know, then all of a sudden, oh, they're doing all of this stuff. And like, okay, well, why aren't you doing that now? Right. And so changing the way we see it can oftentimes show us where we're choosing comfort and telling ourselves, yes, that this is what we want versus like the truth of no, like what do we really want? And as you said, understanding that what I'm feeling and what's comfortable, what I'm creating is, you know, basically via what I was taught is right or comfortable or how, yeah, we should be with money.
And the question that I get a lot of people to journal, I get them to journal 4 questions, but the last one is, what is your ultimate desire? There's no rules. Mm. There's no boundaries. There's forget the money. What is your ultimate desire? Now, what this does, it not only brings you to your truth, but it raises your vibration on a different level, right? Because you see their faces shift and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, sitting on the beach of the Bahamas with a nice cocktail or whatever it might be for them. And it's like, really? Totally. And all of a sudden, you know, a minute ago, you were really happy with a minimalist lifestyle.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So the difference gets to be the how. They don't feel like they know how to reach that vision and how to get it and how to draw it in, how to attract it. What do I need to do to get it? But the moment you start owning your truth, you're connecting back with self. And when, as you know, when you connect back with self, you get the intuitive nudges, you get that inspiration, that inspired action, step by step, little bit by little bit, where you're nudging towards that life. But we have this preconceived idea that we've got to know A to Z step. You know, I have this dream in my world that I'm going to have an empire, a $1 billion empire. I have no idea. No, I don't, but, you know, if you did, and if you can't see the exact steps on to get there, a lot of people will just go, I'm not even going to take step one because I can't see it.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
So the how trips up so many people. So instead of working on the how, work on the energetic alignment to it. Work on the habits of behavior that you're currently doing now that is pushing things away. And then it will slowly, one by one, come to you. I like to think about this as doing the waltz with the universe, right? And as a woman, when you hold the man, he leads you. And you don't know the steps he's going to take, but when he takes a step forward, you take a step forward. And when he takes a step to the side, and it's like this beautiful dance where you don't know where you're going, but you're so led. And that's exactly the same of how it works with the universe. They give you one step, you take it. They give you another, you take it, another. And sometimes you might get two, and sometimes you might spin around. And that is the dance of inspiration with the universe. And all of a sudden, you are at the end of the song and you feel absolutely amazing. And that's the journey.
I use the same exact analogy. Yeah.
Do you?
And because it's really beautiful. I do. Because it's beautiful because it's, in my opinion, what I say about it is that it's both surrendered in the context of you're not thinking about the next step. You're surrendered. You're present in the moment. You're being willing, because surrendered is a lot about being open and willing and available to being led, but you're also engaged. So you're not just like, okay, universe, bring it to me, right? Like not doing anything, because that's not going to get you anywhere. You have to take action, right? So it's you're engaged in the dance. Like dancing takes engagement. It takes muscles. You have to work your body, right? So it's this beautiful movement of surrender and yet engagement at the same time. That's really beautiful. 100%. Super fun.
Love it. Yes. Yeah. So go for it.
Yeah. Well, so I got an intuitive hit. So you said four questions. So I want to hear the other three. And then I got an intuitive hit for us to answer the questions. Both you answer the questions and I'll answer the questions. For some reason, that wants to be fun and playful.
Let's do it. So these are four questions that I downloaded for myself. They're my magic manifestation questions. I call it the create your dream questions. The first one is very simple and we all do, which is what am I grateful for? And sometimes this gets to be the not fun stuff, right? Which is, you know, I'm grateful for the trauma that I've been through because created the woman I am today. You know, I look back at my childhood and, you know, there's a part of me that I never had any boundaries at home, never had any rules. So there was an element of me that felt unsafe. But you know what? I'm so good at creating my own rules for myself now. And so that's what that has taught me, and is that gratitude of acknowledgement and the gratitude of I get to step up for me now. And that's what I love about that.
I love that one because I often call suffering as grace because this was a lesson that I was taken through very profoundly. And when it first came through, I was like, okay, suffering is grace. I understand, but it was conceptual. And then I really experienced it. And now I truly in my heart believe it. I already had seen reality as all is perfect and all of these things are lessons and all of that. But suffering is grace took me to like a whole nother depth of understanding deep pain, right? And when we're kind of at our rope's end, so to speak. And so I love how you use gratitude in that way, that gratitude can be either, you know, because sometimes we think it only has to be positive things. I'm grateful for the house. I'm grateful for my partner, right? But absolutely, like seeing the flip side of that.
Yes.
And so to answer that question, I'll just say one of the things that I've been really aware of my gratitude recently is of my mind. I have a really strong mind, which has been really beautiful my whole life. And it's also caused a lot of arrogance and ignorance.
I love that. Yes.
I've had to slap myself really hard sometimes because my strong mind is like, no, this is how it is. And I'm like, are you sure about that? Why don't we just pause for a second? So yes. It's a beautiful thing. It's like a double-edged sword. And I've had to learn when it's my super gift, my superpower, and when it's, you know, one of my weaknesses.
Yes. And that's a really interesting perspective that you have, because on one hand, if we're too rigid, that gift can drive us down.
Right. Yeah.
And that brings us to the second question, which is, what do I love about myself? Right. Because so many of us, especially women, have never taken the time to honor ourselves. And this is always the question that is the hardest, because I always say you write 5 things every single day. And it's like you get to dig in deep and be honest with yourself. No, like forget the little girl that just, oh, I don't want to be too egotistical. It's like it's not being egotistical. Yeah. It's owning up to your gifts, right? And for me, one of my strongest gifts that I've been given, and I know it comes from trauma, is the gift of self-awareness. And I didn't realize this until I started to go into therapy and started to really talk to people on a deeper level. Was like, wow, I have a profound level of self-awareness that I just assumed everybody had. But it's not as common as what we think, unless we jump into this sort of circle that we're in, and we've all gone through something which has made us hypervigilant to start with around what we're doing because we're there to please other people, right? So healing that side of you, you still get to keep that self-awareness. But just like you said before, as like I have to have a look on where that self-awareness is not doing me any justice, where I'm overthinking things, where I'm overcritical about myself. And it's like, whoa, let's just be a little ignorant for a while sometimes, because that's what the situation needs right now. So yeah, what do you love about yourself?
Absolutely.
Is important.
Yeah, when I asked that question, you know, I've always had this ability to really follow what lights me up, from my very first job through all of my jobs through my whole life. I've never understood why you would ever do anything. I mean, I've had little moments, like I've been a waitress, right? But those were short-term jobs. Like I was coming in, making some money, getting out, right? Like it just never made any sense to me. And this is no judgment on anybody who's had a long-term job or relationship or anything that they hated or didn't like. It just was naturally part of who I was. I didn't even know that I did it for a long time until I started having the reflection of people like saying, I remember when I was 19 years old and I had left the country to go travel the world. I became a scuba diving instructor, and this guy was from Canada, and he was telling me how much he hated his job. He hated his life, and he'd been in this job for like 20 years. And I was 19 and I was like, well, why are you doing that? You know, like it just didn't make any sense to me. Like I was like, so quit your job, you know? And I said it with a lot of compassion. Yeah, we had a really great conversation, but it was like a really big eye opener to me, you know? And I've really been blessed with that. I've really, really, really been blessed with this ability to just create my life in this wonderful way. Not that I don't have challenges, because I have hard ass challenges, you know, but I've been able somehow to say, this is what lights me up and I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting how we all receive our challenges in a different way, right? Well, for him, staying in a job that he hates for 20 years, there's a lesson in that challenge for him. But doing something you hate, you don't have the lesson in that, but your lessons come other ways.
Right? Yes, well put, sweetheart. Beautiful. Yes, well put.
So question number three is what are my current desires? What do you currently want? What are you currently going towards? Right? And that could be on a health level, a personal level, relationship level. You know, my current goals and desires is to deepen relationships and through communication. And it's interesting because I'm reading the best book at the moment. I have had this book on my bedside table for a year. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. I bought it very intuitively. The title is very non-sexy, but I started reading it while I was on holiday. Oh, it's so unsexy. And I'll tell you what it's called. It's called, Never Split the Difference, right? Negotiating as if your life depends on it. And so it's a very non-sexy title, but it's such a brilliant book about the psychology of communication. And I'm reading this and I'm like, every single person on this planet needs to read this, because this is the one thing that I find with everybody, man and woman alike, is the part of our human existence that we're just not good at. And a lot of
seriously, I know.
Right? And so it goes into lots of depth about empathy as well, and the difference between empathy and sympathy.
Yes, I talk about that a lot. Yes.
Right?
So yes.
This is my current desire around deepening communication, because when I work with women in business, that shows up as marketing. When I work with general women, this comes up in relationships, in communication with their children, with their parents, right? It comes up with asking your boss to pay you what you're worth to the company.
Yes.
Right? So communication is so good. And this is actually written by an FBI agent that is the best in his field at hostage negotiation.
Oh, well, there you go. That guy knows how to talk.
This guy knows how to talk. And it's so interesting him leading you through all these different scenarios. And I tell you, from a very broad perspective, it's interesting because it's all real life stuff. And so it's really interesting to understand what actually goes on in this world behind the scenes that we don't know, right? And how it's handled, and how different people from different organizations have learned to approach it, from the FBI to people from Harvard to the LAPD, and they've all, like, there are some that approach it very masculine and hard edge and just do what I say sort of thing. And then there's one which is like, cut out the emotion from the person and deal with the person. Whether what they're finding works the best is the empathy without the sympathy is the best way to get the person to come on board with you. So, yeah, that's my world at the moment.
That's so beautiful, because I've been talking to my boys. I have two boys, 8 and 10, and I talk to them a lot about communication, because when they start fighting, I sit them down and I'm like, I'm not going to solve this for you. I want you guys to talk through it. And then they start going, well, he did this. And I'm like, no, we're not blaming. Like, I want you to tell me what happened and your side of the responsibility. Like, and then you tell me what happened and what you did. Like, own your side of the responsibility. And you know what it always comes down to is either a lack of communication or miscommunication. Every single time. Yes. And so I keep telling them this. Okay, do you see? That was miscommunication, you know? And then, of course, you know, learning this for myself and applying it to my life. Mm-hmm. But it's just so interesting to see it start happening at such a young age. And it's just about communication. And I love how you bring it, communicating with, you know, your potential boss, or communicating with your clients if you're a business owner, or just even communicating with yourself, like how we said, yes. What do I desire? That's communication, yes. Right? That's you communicating with yourself about what you really want, rather than just kind of tiptoeing around yourself and your desires and not bringing through that communication. So there's so many angles of communication. I really love that you brought that up. And
imagine
my desire.
Imagine if you communicated with yourself with a little bit more empathy, mm-hmm. right? Oh, imagine. That's
yes.
For me, that's
and less cheesy. Sympathy.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Less sympathy, which means stop creating that continued stuckness, yes. for yourself by justifying
the victim, the victimhood. Yes. 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 Yeah. So what I'm working on that I desire right now twofold is every single morning in my meditation, I ask my higher self, how can I be of service to the higher good? So in today, because that's my overall goal, but it's like today, what do I need to do to be in service to the higher good? Because that is deeply of my heart. And yes, I have a business, and yes, I want my business to be very big. I have a vision. The other thing I desire is, you know, I have this big vision, which I think was the last question, of being on stage with all these people. So my vision is really, really big. That doesn't mean that I can't be heart-centered and like really, really clear that I want my actions to be of integrity and my actions to be of service to the higher good of all. And I also am calling in again simultaneous, which I love this because it seems contradictory, but it's not. I'm calling in 50K months, right? So I'm holding, that's what I want, 50K months. And I want it to be in service to the higher good. And this is what I want per month. And I want my actions to be of integral quality and in service to the higher good. So that's what I do every day.
I love that, because when I work with women around reaching, you know, whether it's those 50K months or those the $1 million year and things like that, one of the biggest things that I see is that, how do I do it not only with integrity, but their vision that they've seen of other people at that level are people that don't do it with integrity? Or when you start right. jumping into certain scenes where it's all about drugs and alcohol and all this sort of stuff, it's like, I don't want to be that, but I've never seen anything different, right? So part of it gets to be, how do I create this world for myself? Because at the end of the day, the only thing that is different is the numbers in your bank, the reach that you have. Mm. You don't have to change yourself for anything, or you don't have to change the values, the boundaries, how you show up, right. who you connect with. They don't have to change. You don't have to step into different worlds just because you have more money in the bank. Hey, you can even create your own world. Right?
Yes.
So I love that. I love that. So, yes, and the fourth question is your ultimate desire, your wildest dream. And it's like, this might not even feel real, but it's like, sit back. And like, let your mind expand. Let it wander. Where does it go? What does it feel like? What's the weather? Where are you? Who are you connecting with? What are you doing? You know? For me, I see myself on a beach in a hammock in the sun. But also, like, I love the synchronicity of the two worlds, the peaceful, quiet, island sort of lifestyle, and then coming back and into the city and inspiring people. You know, one of my biggest goals that I've had ever since stepping into this area of life is I want to take the corporate back home. Back home to self. And that's my goal. is to take the everyday programmed person and allow them and give them their own permission to come home. And I know for me, that means I can't have a fully isolated life because I can't inspire and I can't connect and I can't relate from that. And it's kind of not what I want. I love.
Yeah. Yes.
I love the opposites. And it's like for me when, you know, Esther Hicks, she looks at the cork as you pull it underneath the water. And when you pull it down further and you let go, it bounces back twice as high. Right. And we can use that analogy with trauma, like the deeper your trauma goes and the lessons you learn from that, the more you rise. And I like to see it also in the opposites of, you know, the existence of world and having, yes, a minimalist lifestyle, but also having a maximalist lifestyle so I can connect with the people that I need to connect with and lead them back home.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I'm very similar because I just adore, more so than the beach, I'm a tree and like woods and forest and mountain person. I grew up in the trees. And so to me, going out into Gaia or like, you know, Sedona or something like that, I am so into Gaia and spending just me and her time together. And this has been my whole life since I was very, very little. And so I always make time for it every single day or, you know, most days. And then I make quality, you know, pockets of time for it throughout my year. Like I'm going for a month and I'm just going to be. And so there's that part of me that's just like, you know, I'm just the dissolving into. I just let myself dissolve into her and just be. And then I get images, you know, I love to interact with people and I love to smile and laugh and like be in these joyous spaces where we are, you know, facing ourselves and we're crying and then we're laughing and we don't know where we are and we're hugging. And we're just like, wow, this is so profound. And having these really powerful moments together as humanity, you know? And so I see that. And then of course I see like a stage, there's lots of people and I see lots of travel and just lots of interaction with life, you know, aliveness.
Yes. You know, it's, I love how you say that because like for me, it's like we're put on this planet to experience, right?
Absolutely.
Experience and create. And it's like, what does that
That's
look
exactly
like?
What I say. Oh, my God. You and I have, like, the same shit. I say the exact same thing.
That's the reason we're here right now, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, do that for you. What is creating? What is experiencing? And I love to experience every facet of life. You know, we have just been holidaying in Bali. And I was watching my son. It was one aspect. I'm watching my son in the pool. And I'm like, we are born 2 weeks apart. Right? Yes, he's 10 at the moment. But we're both Pisces. And watching him in the pool and I'm like, water is your element to a T. He like comes alive and this energy and this just that little inner being just radiates. And I've always known this from him from a child because if he was having a bad day, if he was having a tantrum or if he was just having bad sleep, I just put him in the bath and this different person would emerge and it was so beautiful. And then seeing that other side of Bali as well with talking to the locals and because we've been going back there probably – this is probably our sixth time now. And it's not the suffering but it's the – it's the hardness of their life, the reality where the healthcare system is different to ours. You know, we're different to yours and theirs is different again. And the lack of knowledge that they have around health and, you know, our driver, we've had the same driver for years and he's beautiful and he was talking about, well, don't have my next client for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, I said to my husband one day, and I'm like, there's so many like Facebook pages for the Balinese to advertise. And I'm like, why isn't he doing that? Why isn't he going to all the villas? And like, we just have such a different mindset around growth and around connecting. And for them, it's such a spiritual journey of life where they just trust that they will be given what they need at the right time. And it was interesting because when we left, he's like, I don't have another client for 2 or 3 weeks. And when we landed, our friends go, oh, I'm going to Bali tomorrow. Can you give me your driver's details? And I'm like, isn't that interesting, right? And even to the thing of car insurance, he's like, I don't have car insurance. I have God, right? I trust and I pray every morning that everything will go my way. And
I wish I could not have car insurance.
Save your life.
Yeah, we're required.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the U.S., you're required to have at least car insurance to cover the other person's car and, health problems, yes. Health issues. So, yeah, liability,
yes.
You're required.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Are you not in Australia?
No, I don't think it's a rule. Everyone does it, but I'm pretty sure I don't think it's a mandatory. Yeah.
Yeah, to have when you register your car and you do all of that, it's required to have insurance. Yeah. Which I just think is a big scam. So I'm all for the Balinese, you know, the way of living. I mean, to me, that is again the dance, right? Because it's like the surrender to the bigger forces and the divine will, and simultaneously like the engagement and kind of what I was saying about like, okay, I want to serve for the higher good of all, and I'm calling in this amount, and like how we can play both of those sides, I think is really the fun.
And that's what it gets to be. And this is the biggest thing that I find that holds a lot of women up, whether you're in business or not in business. It's the pressure that you put on self to perform, the pressure you put on yourself to manifest in what you want. And it's that exact pressure that actually pushes it away. So the moment you can surrender, it's the moment you are willing to surrender is the exact moment the manifestations can occur. And I've seen this time and time and time again, Alara, where I've worked with women on their money mindset or on the manifestations that, you know, is in the forefront of their mind. And when they release and surrender and even just forget about it, oh my God, the goodness that comes in is amazing. I'll tell you this one story. I had one woman, she's a corporate, and she didn't come to me for money mindset, but we, on our journey through working through things, she goes to me, I could really do with $15,000. I'm like, okay, let's do it. I'm like, you know, for me, the object here is the version of you that brings in that $15,000 is on this vibration and you are here. So what we need to do is to bring you into the vibration of the woman that has it, right? And she has a corporate job. For her, she has no idea how this could occur. So part of it gets to be, okay, I want you to list 5 ways that it could possibly happen. How could it happen? And what this does, it opens up your mind to different possibilities. Yes, you could win it. You could be gifted it. You might find something to sell. You might get a pay rise. You might all of a sudden decide to change jobs and you get, you know, your salary increases by $15,000 or anything else that I'm not aware of yet. And that's important. So what you're then doing is you're not specifying, I need the money to come through this channel, right? And this is how you know you're open or not. And this is for a lot of women, not all women, but a lot of women. If you can earn money through a corporate job, if you can bring money into your world through your husband, that means your portal is open. But it might also mean your portal is closed off to other opportunities that is around you. So if you're, so say, for example, in business and you're earning money through a job, but you're not earning money through your business yet, and your husband is bringing money into your world, but you're not earning money through your business yet, it's not a money mindset thing. It's a money channel thing. So open up the channel, right? Open up to possibilities. So 2 weeks later, after we did the energetic alignment with this woman, she came in and she goes, Jennifer, it happened. And you'd never guess how. I'm like, please tell me. She said, yes, I always get amazed with these things. It's like, it always happens, but I get so curious.
Absolutely.
So she said, she forgot that she lent money to her sister like 10 years ago. And her sister has a investment property where she got new tenants in, and that tenant paid her for like 6 months up front, which was $15,000, and she just transferred it to her. And so it's like that opening up, it's like just landed it in her lap, and she's like, I can't believe it worked. So there's so many, I've got so many stories like that, Alara. But the key here is the surrender. The key here is to trust even when you feel like it's not going to happen, right? If you're going for $50,000 months and you're at 40 on the 25th of the month, still trust that it is possible. And even when it comes to the 30th, still trust that it's on its way. And that level of trust that you get to have in yourself and the universe, that is the co-creation. Because, hey, sometimes we're late, right?
Sometimes we're late. Well, and simultaneously right on time, right? Like late, but right on time.
100%. And notice that in that lateness but right on time is the lesson of patience and trust, right? And yeah, that's what
those are always know. Those are always the tough ones, and yet when we really understand them, it's been my experience as well, particularly with patience and particularly with trust, literally those two, the trust of self, the trust in divine will, taking action, holding the intention, holding the focus, and then letting go of the how it's going to show up and when it's going to show up, the how it's going to show up and when it's going to show up, and just keep taking that action. Like you said, with that trust, with that conviction, like it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And they're huge, and particularly the patience, because I don't know about you. I am not a patient person. I've had to learn to let go of time and my ego's mind, you know, my ego's perception of when it needs to happen right now. And like we said, it can happen late, quote unquote, right on time. So absolutely.
Because what's the reality is there is no such thing as time, but all time is merged into one.
Exactly.
So yes.
Exactly. And there's a lot of forces and things that we can't always see, you know, so we want it to happen right now, but maybe that's not really how it's best aligned to happen right now. Right. So there's always that, you know, that beautiful understanding of when we're holding ourselves back and when it really is that time just to let go and surrender. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer, how can people find you and reach out to you?
So you can find me. I'm mainly over on Instagram. So my handle is Jennifer McCormack Wellness, or on my website, which is jennifermccormack.com.au, because I'm here in Australia.
Beautiful. And all that will be in the show notes. And is there anything in particular that do you have a group or a particular program that you really just briefly, we only have a few minutes, but something you want to shout out?
I work with a lot of women one-on-one. That's my main focus, is to help you individually get to where you want to go. What we do as well, which I'm ramping up this year for 2024, is doing more private retreats. I love them because we get to really deep dive over 2 days into everything you want to work on, because let's face it, money is not just about money sometimes. Our body holds a lot of that stagnant energy. So sometimes Actually, a lot of the times I work with a lot of women on period pain and PMS regulation, which is our creative center, which helps us birth everything, right? So it's all about doing all that energetic and cognitive work to help us get what we want. So this year, and I always plan at least one trip to the Whit Sundays. The energy of the Whit Sundays is just magnificent. It is the most potent energy here in Australia that I find to do healing work. And I'm possibly going to do one in Bali, but if you follow me in my Instagram, you'll know all about that when they come up.
Yeah, perfect. You know, those retreats, those in-person events are so powerful and impactful, right? So definitely I recommend people reach out. I never went to the Whit Sundays, but I did live and work in Bundaberg for quite some time. And isn't that out of Whit Sundays? Is they were doing liveaboards and stuff out to the Whit Sundays. I didn't get to go out there, but I've heard very, very wonderful things about them. I definitely felt drawn. So yes, that's very beautiful. So absolutely. Thank you so much, my love, for joining us here today.
Thank you, Lara. I've really enjoyed this.
Yay. And fellow ecstatics, definitely reach out to Jennifer, get a hold of her on Instagram or follow her so you can find out when those in-person events are. And if you feel called to, you know, work with her one-on-one, those are always those deep dive mentorships, right? Where you get that real laser focus. Anytime we're working with a mentor one-on-one, there's that real laser focus on what our unique desires are, our unique desires are. That'll help you to expand really quickly, really rapidly. Like that's always the thing about working with a mentor is you can really see the results very rapidly. Though, you know, you got to have patience. You got to be surrendered. Thank you to all of you so much for joining us today. And until next time, I love you so much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.